If we're moving quick enough, I'll give you the signal. This is the signal.
Okay.
And then you read the question because I don't have it.
That's good. No one will hear it.
This means signal received.
This is the signal. Warning. Warning.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. For your business paper needs, or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and cruise director, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James. I'm your new HR representative.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone, my friend.
I included that one because I would love a deleted scene to see the rest of that. Michael's full speech. To
Without Holly or Pam interrupting.
Yeah, just
the exit interview.
Yeah. That would have been great. Yeah. Well, of course, what we're talking about today is one of our favorite episodes, Goodbye Toby, the season 4 finale. It aired on May 15th, 2008, written by Paul Lieberstein, who plays Toby, and Jennifer Salata, who's a season 5 showrunner, I believe. And directed by Paul Feig, who's directed a lot of episodes for The Office. This is an hour-long episode.
Mm-hmm. 40-minute runtime, but over an hour time slot.
And is the introduction of Holly Flax, played by Amy Ryan.
Why are we talking about this episode?
We've been kind of digging into specific episodes of The Office, ones that are particularly significant or important to the show itself. And we, of course, did our Niagara episode a few weeks back, and now we're looking at this one. This is the season finale of season 4, as Sean said. And, of course, you always get major events in any season finale of The Office, but in this one in particular, there's a lot that happens, and there's definitely kind of a before and after for the show as it pertains to this episode. So excited to dig into it.
Yeah, big time. So do you want to talk about, let's talk about the A storyline, right? I mean, Holly Flax arrives. Toby's going to go to Costa Rica, and there's going to be a new HR rep.
Right. But even within that, there's a lot folded in.
When
you
so
think
much.
About Michael's general acrimony towards Toby and the way that Holly has to kind of warm up to Michael or get
right.
Michael to warm up to her. And then, of course, Toby's apathy as he kind of makes his exit, you know.
This is a rare interview. This is a rare episode, I think, where like the A and the B storylines are kind of both marquee a little bit based on the characters involved and what happens in each of their storylines, which is like there's just so many facets of characters being in love that we see played out right until the very last shot of this episode.
I was going to say, when you said, let's talk about the A story, really quickly, I had to think, like, what is the A story? Of course it is Goodbye Toby, so that is the major driving
sure.
force
yes.
of the episode.
Yes.
But there are so many plot threads coming together in this episode, and a lot of them only involve two characters. So the show really does a good job of bouncing, even as the plot has to develop and the events keep moving forward, the way that it bounces back and forth between the different threads and kind of weaves them all together, I think, is really was really cool.
So, I mean, of course, Michael's so excited for Toby to be leaving. He shows up early.
He has all this extra
so much energy.
He's dancing.
Doing a grapevine, yeah.
Only 8 hours so until his horribleness has left the building.
But, of course, he and Dwight are dreading this new HR rep. Mm-hmm. Toby brings her in to introduce her, and Michael says, hey, yeah, right, okay. Well, they hired a female Toby. Good for the world. Thank you, God, for creating two of you. Here's how things work here. My job is to make the office fun. Your job is to make the office lame. And we have an eternal struggle, you and I. And only one of us can be the winner. Spoiler alert, I'm going to win.
Wow, someone doesn't like HR. It's kind of how Collie comes back.
And that totally catches him off guard. And he slowly starts to realize that he is completely in love with Ollie.
She even gets in a little dig at Toby, which is like, my eyes glazed over when he was showing me the files or something
her a tour of the files. Yeah.
We've talked about this a little bit, but in that moment, I think Holly shows this really unique kind of emotional intelligence to kind of read Michael. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Toby is so neutral. Like, that's the defining character of Toby that, like, he doesn't
Toby
really
is
care.
The color
Toby's
gray.
Checked out. Yeah, he's always wearing... I was just noticing this. Toby's always wearing a brown coat.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's wearing a three-piece suit in this episode.
It's all brown.
Brown on brown on
rust.
Brown.
Yeah.
But not a three-piece suit, but, you know, the tie shirt. It's all
the trusty,
stylish.
Rusty suit.
Yeah.
But
trusty, rusty.
Yes, that Holly is able to kind of endear herself to Michael through that little line. Michael's like, no, he tortured me, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then he starts to slowly awfulness. Come around to Holly, right? There's a moment at the beginning where he and Dwight are both staring at her through the blinds.
Yeah.
And they're like, why do we hate her? And Dwight's like, because of her head. And she smells.
I don't know. I think you say things just to agree with me.
Would that be such a bad thing?
Yeah, it would. Just have a thought. Have an original thought. Although, I will agree that her head is weird.
So, great moment behind the blinds. Anytime Michael and Dwight are looking through the blinds,
looking
it's always
through the
funny.
Blinds, that's so true.
You know what's funny is, like, this is like Holly is obviously very, very good at her job. Like the way she immediately assesses the situation with Michael. I don't know if she's been briefed by David Wallace or whoever, but the way she looks at the situation and knows the right way to handle it, which is to like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
I don't want enemies right off the bat. I don't want to even involve myself in whatever drama Michael thinks there is. She's just like, Toby's gone. I'm going to take Michael's side in the moment right now.
Yeah.
And we'll smooth this out later.
Very
like, she's
smart.
She's clearly very good and pulls the chair out on Michael, which is like, you know, if in basketball, if a big guy posts up on you and you're a little guy and he starts to back you down, you kind of just, you can back
pull
up real
chair.
Quick and sometimes they stumble and fall down. That's exactly what Holly does to Michael.
And it works.
And I think, too, just to kind of, I mean, and of course, you've talked about this, Alex, as a kind of a plot, a type of plot, but like the sort of new person in town where somebody comes in new and they look at the office with kind of fresh eyes, right? And there's a reason to tour them around and look at everything that's going on, right? And to take it to another plot thread that we have, obviously we'll keep talking about Michael and Holly as the episode continues, but where they go to Kevin and Dwight sets her up as part of this hazing thing to think that Kevin is mentally challenged. And then again, Holly is almost over-indexed, like she goes too hard into this sort of reading of Kevin.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's played really funny, but like that's another thing that happens where, you know, if on one hand we're saying that she shows a ton of emotional intelligence for Michael, she does not read the Kevin situation correctly, you know?
Like, I mean, to in her defense, she is completely tricked.
Right.
Yeah.
By Dwight.
Set up. Yeah.
She doesn't know Dwight. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know Kevin. And that's why it works so well is the way Kevin just normally is if you came in with a different lens on.
Yeah.
She's completely buys it.
And it's so funny just how those two things run in parallel. Like, I'm thinking even at the end of the episode where Michael's like, don't move a muscle, and she leaves her drink up at her face or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's so perfect for Michael. But then again, it's written so well that, like, everything Kevin says, he's like, okay, bye. Like, every little, like, line that he delivers is just, it continues to paint that portrait of him in that way.
You drive your own car?
Yup. Yup. I do the numbers.
Maria sorting through the change. And
she goes,
That's
a button.
Yeah. It's just perfect. It's just perfect. Oh, but maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. But yeah, I think this was drafted. Someone drafted this episode.
I think you did.
Or did I?
I think
maybe
you
I did. I must have. But yeah, like this episode sees major relationships throughout the entire course of the show kind of all come to a head, not a head, but like they're all addressed here in some way. We get Michael goes through so many emotions in this episode, and seeing Michael fully charged in love is just a delight. Steve Carell brings the heat in this episode. He's so good.
he's just freaking out at some points.
Well, and there's this one thing where Jim is trying to get him to hold back just a little bit. And then at the same time, like Holly is kind of very openly warm to Michael. There's that moment where Holly touches Michael's arm.
Yeah.
And Michael says, Jan didn't really believe in physical affection.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what to do when like a girl touches me. He's like, I know that I like it. And he laughs really he laughs really awkwardly. Like, that's so, it's such an innocent and kind of endearing moment for Michael, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's clear that he doesn't know what to do.
Right. You know, and like, I feel like we're told, I don't know, as kids through the media, there's you know, like, there's someone for everyone. There's someone for you out there. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we get to see that in this episode is like, here's, let's deliver on a platter to someone, like a perfect person for Michael, who you probably, it's like, there's no way that person exists. No way Michael Scott is a perfect match for someone. It's
they,
like, lo and
there's
behold.
Like that moment too, where they, I can't remember what they're doing right before it, but they're like acting. And Holly just goes, love it at the end of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's totally what Michael does all the time. Mm-hmm. It,
yeah.
It's so weird.
I want to call attention to that scene. I think it's one of the most special moments in the whole show, and probably one of Steve Carell's best acting moments is the moment when Michael asks Holly, how do you sit like that? She says yoga, and he goes right into the sit on the floor and fix chair. We will. Yo, duh. And it's this moment where, like, that's the moment Michael's probably used to being like, oops, I screwed it up already. Yeah, like, I can't. And she responds with the Yoda voice, and the look on Michael's face in his eyes is the look of somebody falling in love, like, completely. And Steve Carell and Amy Ryan in that scene are so incredible. I think it's one
totally
of the better moments on the show. Yeah, I'd like to see that. It's really powerful.
And then she says, and that's the, you know, I couldn't get this thing to work and I tried to fix it. And that's how the story of how I ended up on the floor. Pretty good, right? Don't you want the movie's coming out in the fall or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, and then the sequel... Woman sits at desk, stands at desk and works.
That's such a good joke.
Yeah, it's really nice. I think too, you know, we look at The Office very holistically now. We know what Michael and Holly's endpoint is now, but in that moment at the end of season four with this new character coming in, we didn't know that they were going to end up together. We didn't know how long Holly was going to be on the show. We don't really know the extent to which she is a big dork.
Yeah,
which is quickly established at the beginning of season five.
Literally,
Jim says it into the camera that Holly's kind of a major dork.
Yeah,
and they do that rapping thing right into the camera. So we see the spark, but we don't realize how much of a match they really are.
Yeah. And let's. I mean, speaking of relationships, on this episode, we should also talk about Jim and Pam.
Yeah,
and Michael and Toby.
We'll get. Yeah. Yes. No doubt.
Jim and Pam, we learn early on that Jim has a plan to ask Pam to marry him.
I think the first thing that happens in the Jim and Pam thing is that Pam gets into art school.
That's right.
Yes. So that happens in this episode.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
It happens. Like, it's one of the first things that happens. And, you know, Pam is talking about how, you know, they're
she read the email at her desk and then she went to get a snack to celebrate.
And Jim's like, wow, big day. You know? Yeah. And, yeah, they're like, you know, that part's going to suck, but it'll be great. Like,
yeah.
They're 2 hours away or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then Pam has that talking head where she's like, you know, if down the line we have a family, I couldn't do it then. And, like, so the timing is kind of perfect. And this is the first time I've ever used the word perfect in here, you know.
Mm.
But we see that going on. And then as the party kind of begins to evolve into this much bigger thing, we see Jim getting ready to propose, right?
Right.
So that's something that is going on kind of in the background, right? And the I think it's really interesting that Jim and Pam, this is the only season where they're together the whole time, where they're together as a couple, where they're not also engaged.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
So just to kind of trace the Jim and Pam thing to the end, there's, of course, this big party with the Ferris wheel and the music and the fireworks that Jim pays for.
Great shot of Toby shaking his head. I'm just like, what is going on?
And of course, Andy proposes to Angela in that moment. He seizes the moment.
Right.
And Jim and Pam, you know, we see the close up on Jim's hand with the ring in his hand, then he puts it back into his pocket.
Yeah.
And Pam begins to suspect that Jim is going to propose. She even asks the camera crew straight up if Jim is going to propose, and they won't tell her. And then at the end, she's like, oh, you know, I really kind of thought something was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So it's this moment of tension and lack of clarity in the season where Jim and Pam have really been happy together kind of the whole time. There haven't been any major interruptions, I think, in their season.
No.
Yeah.
That's just been pretty good for them.
All that happens is things like this where Jim is like, you know, I actually have a lot of experience with office relationships. And Michael's like, yeah, who? And he's like, Pam. Michael's like, what? That's still going on?
He says, we've been over this.
Yeah. Damn. Like, everyone in the office just assumes that it's over or that they're hooking up. Like, I think that's such a funny dynamic. Yeah.
Well, you're not a romantic. Actually, I think I am.
Yeah. And then, I mean, maybe I'm jumping the gun. Michael, says the gym is not a romantic. Yeah. It's so funny.
It's echoed. It's funny because Michael kind of echoes that later when he's on the lecture tour with Pam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's like, what Holly and I had 10 times what you and Jim had. Like, he does it again and just dismisses their relationship in the moment.
That's completely. Awesome.
Really and Pam is like, you know, when Jim was with Karen, I didn't even really want to come into work. And Pam and Michael's like, Pam, come on, I'm going through something.
But I think it speaks to like Michael Scott's, I mean, obviously he has the power as the boss, but his emotional power, like he's such a middle schooler in terms of his energy,
his emotional maturity.
He takes over everything where he's like, this is all now about me. And to see him so giddy around Holly and then Jim immediately comes in as kind of managing this fire that started in Michael of like, all right, well, we need to keep this contained. I need to make sure it's burning responsibly.
Oh yeah. I mean, Michael's coming back and saying like, I wanted to kiss her.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm so glad you did.
Yeah. Jim's like, thank God you didn't.
But it's just a funny, it again, kind of reestablishing, you know, even Jim and Pam's role in Michael's life, not just in the office, is really on display throughout the whole episode.
Something that I wanted to kind of mention as a theme or a recurring thing that I noticed in this episode is it's one of the last sort of season finales where it's almost characterized by things not happening, right?
Okay, interesting.
It's characterized by Jim not proposing to Pam.
Okay.
By Michael not taking up Holly when she asks if he wants to go get dessert.
Right.
You know? By Dwight kind of being dejected at the proposal, right? Mm. Of course, Andy does propose to Angela, but I would argue that at this point in the story, Andy's a little more secondary still, and he's positioned as Dwight's rival more than he is a protagonist later on. I think at this point, the protagonists are still, to some extent, Michael, Dwight, Jim, Pam, right?
Totally.
And I think that was the one thing, that at the end of this episode, at the end of this sort of celebration of Toby's exit, right, with the Supertramp cover and everything, you end with like the moment where Pam has to take all those pictures with Toby, because Toby wants to get a picture of the two of them.
Right,
and she's so sad in the moment. Like, it's really crushing. And, like, that's, like, the way that she can't really muster a smile. And Meredith's like, oh, that wasn't a good one. And Toby says, oh, it's digital. Take as many as you have to, right? Like, she has to sit in that moment.
Yeah.
And again, like, I think when you think to future seasons, right, season 5 ends in Company Picnic. We found out Jim and Pam are pregnant. In season 6, you know, it's Saber. And these bigger, like, grander plot changes kind of happen in the later seasons. And I think season 4 is one of the last ones where those things are very small and still character-focused, you know. Mm-hmm. It feels more true to the early parts of the show that something doesn't happen,
right?
You know? It ends with the characters giving kind of forlorn looks into the camera.
Or like Casino Night, is that season 2 finale?
Season 2, yeah.
I mean, you know, Jim goes in for the kiss and then Pam says, I'm still going to marry him.
Yeah, I mean, there's still cliffhangers and stuff and like, you know, of course there are parallels between all these season finales, but that's something that really struck me about season 4 finale.
And it's kind of, I feel like that's over the whole DNA of season 4 just because of it was the writer's strike. It's a shortened season overall.
I think the way that season 4 ends with sort of this bittersweet kind of inflection to what is like a really fun, positive day to some extent. Like the way that, it ends on the sad note, I think is really true to the show and like kind of helps. I mean, that's why we love The Office, right? Because it's so funny and so strange and kind of anything can happen. But at the same time, there are these kind of heavy character moments that feel real when they aren't positive.
I love that. I mean, you know me, I love the moments in The Office where people don't get what they want, and yet it's still touching, or, you know, you still, like, there's a glimmer of hope left or something like that. I think that those are the best episodes where they're almost kind of sad a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is par for the course for Toby, who yet again in this episode,
yes.
Like, there's two times Toby has suddenly run out of the office. One was when he puts his hand on Pam's leg and then just takes off, jumps the fence.
Yeah.
And on this one where no one has a camera and he
does
just...
Does anybody have a camera?
Sprints away and buys...
The desperation in his voice.
When
he palpable. Yells to the office,
And he buys a really nice... Like, runs out and buys a very expensive camera right away.
I didn't catch that he bought it.
Yeah.
And then when he puts his hand on Pam's knee, that's when he announces that he's going to Costa Rica.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Do you think he makes it up in that moment?
I think he's always wanted to. I think he's always wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah.
There, I think, is it a deleted scene where he comes back with a camera and he's like, can I get a picture of Pam? And she's next to Jim, and then gets a picture of Jim and Pam. Like, oh. They just take the picture together, and Toby takes it, and then he's like, this is a waste of money.
That is a deleted scene. Yeah. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is exactly how it would go, down. Because it is weird that he asks for a picture of the two of them a little bit.
Well, he does it because, like, Pam gives him a picture of everyone, but Pam's not in it.
Because she took the picture.
Right.
Maybe she should have given it to Michael. We know that he's a master of Photoshop.
Yeah.
Speaking of, not to go away from Toby again,
yeah.
But
that's why he's there.
He's in the annex. But something that also happens and that is resolved here is Jim and Ryan. So throughout this show or throughout the season, we see Ryan in corporate and we see Ryan kind of applying pressure to Jim.
Right.
You know, he even says point blank, you know, I know who you spend your time here. I know how much time you waste, you know, goofing off with Dwight and talking to Pam. You know, so he's really pushing Jim, and Jim has to go make that sale to I forget his name, but it's during the golf episode, during the career fair episode, right? Because Ryan puts him on probation, and you know Jim has to like log his sales on the website again and stuff, and you know Jim is obviously very kind of worked up because he has to try a lot harder at the job, and Ryan seems to be trying to push him out, you know,
right?
And
he's got. Like the proposal on his mind in terms of like,
right.
I need to bone down on my career and like, I got plans.
He says, I have these big plans in my personal life, so I can't let this job go, you know?
Yeah.
But then of course at the end of the episode, and we kind of get this with Ryan is telling Jim on the phone.
Yeah.
Like when Jim has his big sale, like,
he's like, good job.
Good job. Let me doing finish. Your job.
Yeah.
He's like, log in the website. And then, Jim leaves a voicemail for Ryan where he's like, I don't know what's going on with you, man, but like, you know, I'm not going to leave. And then at the
probably
end...
Probably not a smart move on Jim's part.
Yeah.
To poke the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but lucky for Jim.
Okay. Ryan doesn't make the list until the next season.
Right.
Fired, right. The list of people who have wronged me. And then, but then at the end, after we see Ryan get taken away in handcuffs on YouTube. Jim leaves like kind of that passive aggressive voicemail for, or maybe it's just aggressive.
right.
Voicemail for Ryan. You kind of got your hands tied. So,
yeah.
But so that dynamic is kind of taken off the table.
Right. And the other thing that we have going on in this episode as well, of course,
we haven't even touched on a lot of the things.
So many things.
Yeah, and we're of a 40-minute episode, there are so many more dynamics.
Setting these up, really. Yeah. I mean, we got Michael, of course, is so excited that Toby is leaving. He wants this to be the biggest party yet. He and Angela kind of go back and forth a little bit. It says, you always do this. You ask for the world. You know, we have a budget. And he remembers the money in his shoe.
We have a buttercream cake and a slideshow of Toby. Unfortunately, we only have these two pictures. And it's like of him pouring coffee in the kitchen.
Yeah, they just took them.
But yes, Michael brings out the foot money.
I don't want your foot money. So he turns to Phyllis and says, Phyllis, can you do this? And Phyllis becomes head of the party planning committee.
I love that he's like, my sweet Nana has been sending me a check every $50 every year on my birthday.
Yeah.
Lately, she's been sending me 9 or 10 checks a year as Nana starts to go. And I thought, Michael, what are you going to do with this? And I thought, I should buy myself a motorcycle. So I put the money in my shoe,
and I forgot about it until now.
Why would he put the money in his shoe? It's like, I'm going to buy a motorcycle.
So uncomfortable, yeah.
Put the money in my shoe.
And then,
and
then Angela, she says, I don't want your foot money. And the way that she pushes away the dollar bills with a highlighter is so funny. She won't even touch the money with her hands. Because Michael's like, I want anti-gravity potion.
Yeah,
and Pam is beginning to indulge him, and she's like, how much anti-gravity potion do you want? Right. And then Phyllis calls, and she's like, I'm looking for an anti-gravity machine, something to make you feel lighter.
I can connect you with someone for antidepressants.
Okay.
All right. Oh, it's good. I love Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Phyllis does prove herself to be a very competent party planner throughout the office.
Oh, yeah, she pulls it off.
This one, there's Rockin' Christmas.
There's a Ferris wheel and a stage.
Mm-hmm.
Episode we test recording that never saw the light of day was all about the party planning committee.
Oh yeah,
we might have to do that. We'll do that again.
Parties,
Just highlighting those episodes and
like how much happens over the course of the show during parties. Yeah.
A lot, you know. The power changes hands many times.
Mm-hmm. Deleted scenes from our show. But I think, again, yeah, the something that you kind of brought up is Phyllis and Angela, right?
Yep.
So this is the beginning of Phyllis as kind of taking over. You slurped, to use Michael's parlance. you slurped her role as a party planning committee head. And basically, because after this, at the end of the episode, at the end of, you know, Michael says into the mic, this is one of the best parties we've ever had.
Yep.
Angela looks really upset.
Yep.
And then she says to Phyllis, you know, I hope you had fun because this is the last party you're ever going to plan, right?
Yeah.
And then it ends with Phyllis walking in on Dwight and Angela on Oscar's
desk.
Damn. Yeah. And that sets up sort of Angela being blackmailed by Phyllis at the beginning of season 5 for the party planning committee.
That's right.
It just made me think of when Oscar asks Dwight, where Dwight? And the look that Dwight gives Oscar.
I think you know where.
I've had intercourse in this office.
Where Dwight?
And the way that Oscar covers his mouth, just the...
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny. Like, it's so...
Yet another relationship. I mean, right. Andy and Angela, but also this one. And the power dynamics and the sort of Machiavellian role that Phyllis assumes in the office. Very interesting stuff for all of season 5. Mm-hmm. There's some other moments that in this episode, I feel like, that are echoed later and at different times. I'm thinking also of when Michael has Hank escort Toby out. Really? Come on, Michael. Echoing in the very next season when Charles Minor has Hank come and escort Michael out.
Hank, you think Hank's going to be loyal to you?
Yeah.
Hank, please escort Charles out of the picture.
Come on,
but I think we should talk about Michael and Toby's relationship. And
yeah, I agree.
We'll do a Toby episode at some point, but it's good to touch on it now.
Yeah.
What does Toby mean to Michael? And why... Like, this episode is initially he's so happy because Toby's leaving, and then it becomes he's met Holly, and those two things sort of meet together in fireworks and a Ferris wheel and all this stuff.
Yes.
But, like, what is Michael and Toby's relationship? Like, what does he mean to Michael?
I think Toby personifies the obstruction of what Michael wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
The hurdles and the corporate sort of the answer no whenever Michael wants to take his initiatives or do his parties, or like you think about all the times that Toby shuts Michael down, like during the casino night when he shuts down all the stuff Michael wants to do with the fire eaters and the Boy Scouts and stuff, catering by Hooters.
Yeah.
To school night, and Toby's like, do you want me to go on? I hate so much
about the things you choose to be.
And we're really in sync on our quotes today. And then in season 3, during the Diwali episode, when Michael is presenting everyone the Kama Sutra, and Angela is like, whatever Kelly wants to do in the privacy of her own home is fine, but not here. Mm-hmm. And Toby's like, actually, she's right. Like, I'm stopping this, you know?
You're right.
And Michael's...
Casual Fridays.
Yeah, casual Fridays, right? Yeah. Toby, you're like this amorphous blob of khaki. I don't want to see...
appropriate outfit here except mine, to be quite honest.
I don't want to look at Oscar's toes. Gross. Looks like he just got off the boat.
Michael has a problem with authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always saying screw corporate. He doesn't like it when Saber takes over and makes all these changes. He doesn't like it when Charles Minor comes in and makes all these changes. He doesn't like his stepdad, you know?
I think
Jeff.
He doesn't like being reminded of his place in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he really doesn't like that.
He has an idea of himself being the person in charge,
mm-hmm.
being the dad of the office,
mm-hmm.
And when he's reminded that he can't do anything he wants, he's a bit of a child and he freaks out. So
very abusive to Toby.
Very abusive to Toby.
There's a line where he talks about how he takes care of these people. He's like, I provide them employment. I provide them money. I provide them food.
Yeah.
Not directly, but through the money.
And so, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like when Holly comes in drafting behind Toby, and of course he's expecting yet another sort of corporate naysayer. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun when that gets totally turned on its head.
Yeah.
And I love, too, when David Wallace is talking to Ryan, I think, or maybe, no, David Wallace is interviewing Jim, mm-hmm. and he's saying, there is one person here you might not like, our HR person, Kendall, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's right, the worst, right. You know? So it's funny how that's kind of reflected throughout the company.
Yeah.
But just in general, I also think that one kind of thing that we see happen here is, so Toby makes his exit here, and we do see him come back in season five after, you know, after Holly makes her exit and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of the moment where we see Toby go from the HR person who occasionally can stop Michael to just the full-on punching bag.
Like, right.
I'm reminded of the episode in season 8, the Doomsday episode, where Dwight creates the Doomsday device, and they're like, well, whenever something like this happens, Toby can stop at HR. And Toby's like, I don't know, Pam, HR is a joke. I'm also thinking of a moment where in season 7, Classy Christmas, where Toby gets up to tell everyone that he's going to be leaving because he's got a jury duty in this very right. high-profile case, right? Right. And Michael goes, yes, the case of the horrible red-headed sad sack. And the verdict, it was Toby. And the sentence, death. Death to Toby. And all they do is they're like, all right, that's hurtful talk. We know we can't say that. But yeah, he just takes it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what happens.
He says so many terrible things. If I was in a room with Hitler, Toby, and somebody else.
Bin Laden. Two bullets.
I'd shoot Toby twice.
Oh, Michael, you went too far.
And then
that's coming hot off the heels of the joke about the silent but deadly, mm-hmm. The radon kits. And he's yeah. like, we're going to die of boredom. And everyone laughs. And Michael's yeah. like, yeah, yeah, we don't like Toby. And he tells the Hitler joke.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And then they're like, all right. He's like, everyone get up here. Dwight's like, you can get up. We'll do it like this. Meredith, you're Hitler. Kevin, you're Bin Laden. Toby, you're Toby. And Toby's like, I don't want to do it. And Michael's like, just do it, Toby. Like, so exasperated at Toby for not wanting to play himself in a situation where they all get shot in the head.
Ugh. And he gives a little fist bump when he gets the role. Andy or Bin Laden.
Really the best moment, I think, between Michael and Toby in this particular episode is the exit interview.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I think, let's see, Toby interrupts Holly and Michael having a moment. So Michael just says, just go home until the party and then come back yeah. at 5. And Toby says, well, we have to do our exit interview. And Michael just, another look of delight.
The sinister,
this is a great day for yeah. Michael.
Yes, sinister joy that he takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, so it begins. Toby has been cruising for a bruising.
Yeah,
I am his cruise director, and my name is Captain Bruising. And he brings them in, and then like he's about to get started, and then yeah. Holly comes in to take notes, and then yep. Pam comes in,
yeah.
and Toby's like, "No, Pam, stay."
Such yeah. a funny cascade.
I love that. Yeah, yeah,
because he's just getting going. Yeah.
The one person who Michael doesn't want to kind of embarrass himself in front of, or like he wants to watch what he says in
yeah.
front of her. There's even a moment later on where they're on the Ferris wheel and Holly's talking about her previous company. And she says, you know, it's just, they kept hiring people from the outside. She's like, it was easy to get in, but it was hard to move up. Mm-hmm. And Michael's like, that's what she, nope.
Yeah, yeah, he cuts
yeah,
himself
it's
off.
It's a big moment.
Yeah.
It's the first time.
He's yeah,
like,
he catches himself.
Trying to
himself.
Behave himself.
He's like, I'm going to be a little bit better of a person.
And then he's got Pam, who, like, you know, Mike, we've talked a little about Michael and Pam's dynamic. They have such a special
yeah.
relationship,
yeah, yeah.
you know. And Pam is kind of the corrective force a lot of the time and also a force that eggs him on. So to have both of them there
yeah.
while Michael's trying to say those things to Toby. So, yeah, it begins with, like, all right, Michael, what questions do you have?
And then hiding his face behind his own hands.
I'll kill you.
Because so what happens there is Holly's like, Michael's first two questions, who do you think you are? What yeah. gives you the right?
What gives you the right?
Yeah. And then Holly's like, I brought the binder. So it's full of like actual questions.
Right, right.
And Michael reads the question. And he's like, what would you do to improve Dunder Mifflin? And then Toby's like, well, I've got some ideas. And he goes, no, I was just reading it. I wasn't asking it to you. And Holly's like, oh, I'd actually like to know the answer. And that's when Michael puts his hands up in that little wall and looks over to Toby and gives him that evil glare, mouths the words, I'll kill you. And Toby's like, nothing really.
Yeah,
what's the point?
Toby,
like Toby just
gives up.
Toby rolls over in yeah. in Toby fashion.
He gives him a gift.
Yeah. Suck on this.
It's a rock.
A rock that says suck on this.
And they're like, oh, what a terrible gift. And then Michael, trying to
pretends.
Redeem himself, he gets up and he opens the door and he says, hey, who thought it would be hysterical to wrap Toby, to give Toby a rock as his going away present?
Oh,
and Dwight
gosh.
Goes, you did. You made me wrap it. He's like,
I thought it was over the line.
I loved it.
That's the door. It's over the line.
You did. You made me wrap it.
That's not his real gift. His real gift is...
Your watch?
Yes.
So my he gives Toby his watch. Yeah.
And then the watch alarm goes off
Toby's
wrist,
right,
as he's walking out.
So the episode,
Michael sets,
yeah,
the alarm for the end of the day.
I forgot about that.
When Toby's gone forever.
Oh.
And it's in,
wow,
the first scene, and he's like,
yeah,
woo. And then
that's a good one. Then, I did not ever catch
Toby,
that.
Toby has to turn off that alarm.
Chekhov's watch. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I did not catch that. That is, wow.
It's a nice little thing.
That's a very nice touch.
Yet another relationship we haven't even touched on yet in this episode is Michael and Jan.
Yeah.
Let's move to the third act of this episode.
So,
because
I mean,
that's a big part of it.
Well, we're watching everything work out perfectly for Michael. He and Holly are getting along.
Toby's
gone.
She
seems to be into it too. Toby's leaving.
There's a Ferris wheel. There's fireworks.
Kevin Malone is sent out to go get more barbecue sauce.
That's correct.
Really quickly, before we keep going in terms of plot, I love the moments when Kevin and Phyllis interact. Mm. They're like clearly buddies. Kevin always calls her Phil. She's like, Kev.
That's cute. I've never.
She's like, Kev, can you go get some more barbecue sauce? He's like, okay. You know, like, yeah, their relationship is really funny to me.
I've never picked up on that, but that is awesome.
Mm. You got it, Phil.
You got it, Phil. Is this your car?
Yeah. But yes, to your point.
Kevin goes
you
to
think
the
that
grocery-
I would let this happen again?
Kevin.
No way.
I was waiting for Kevin goes to the grocery store. Things are going great between Holly and Michael. Michael gets a phone call. Kevin says, you got to get down here. Michael
warning,
hangs up the
warning. Warning.
He hangs up the phone and she's like, what's wrong? He's like, it's Kevin. He needs me. Which still
Holly
works
goes,
for Holly's.
Holly's like, go.
Yeah. So he rushes down to the grocery store and finds that Jan is there. And at first, Michael's kind of pissed, I think.
By the way, they come out
together,
Kevin and Jan, appearing to have a completely
normal
like flowing conversation.
Like they're like neighbors.
They
like,
kind of seem to be enjoying each other's
like,
company.
That is
really
funny.
Good to see you, Kevin. And he's like, really good to see you.
Yeah,
too,
what the heck?
I love
what
that.
What are they talking about?
Not only did they run into each other at the grocery store, but they didn't like, and they didn't. It's not that they saw each other. It's not that they said hello. It's not that they had a stop and chat.
Yeah.
It's that they like shopped together the whole time.
It looks
they
like
left
they've
the store
just been
together.
Walking around the store together.
Yeah. How nice is that?
I'd love to see that scene.
Kevin Malone, man of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, you know, Jan's turned over a new leaf. Mm-hmm. She's feeling good about herself.
Yeah.
So maybe she's being more friendly and open about it. But at some point, Kevin sneaks away and calls Michael.
Yeah.
Or maybe in front
or
of her.
Or maybe right when he gets to the store and sees that she's pregnant, mm-hmm. he gives him a call and then they.
And not
together.
A hey, you should call Hall. You should call Jan. But
yeah,
you need to
come
down
to the store.
Yeah, come to the store. Yeah. So of course, as Kevin walks away, he reveals that Jan. We see that Jan is very pregnant, which means, of course, that she probably, had the baby when they were together, or. Became pregnant when they were together.
Which is true.
That's what Michael says. He's like, well, clearly this happened when we were together.
Right, right.
And she says, yes, but you're not the father.
You cheated on me when I specifically asked
you
not to?
Cheated on me when I specifically asked you not to?
And then he goes, well, I know the whole toilet seat thing is a myth.
Oh, gosh.
So Jan, I love that Jan says that she's from this sperm bank. And she's like, I love that she offers to show Michael the catalog to show him like what high caliber sperm bank this is.
Right.
She's like, it's down in the city by that breakfast place you like. He goes, IHOP. She goes, yeah, IHOP.
That's right, IHOP. What's in that catalog?
Oh,
That's so...
Dudes?
Is that a thing? I've never looked at a sperm bank.
I think you can. I thought that you could like you knew things about them. You know how tall they are, that where they went to college, things like that.
That's what you see in TV shows, at least.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. But
later in the baby shower episode in season 5, they're like, Kevin's like, I've donated to a sperm bank once. once, and Jan's like, oh, yeah, no, this is a very selective one. And Kevin goes, by the IHOP? Yes. And he goes, if you would like her to have a brother or sister, you just let me know.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ass turd is Ashton Kutcher's baby.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kevin Malone. I get those.
But anyway, Michael's reaction to this is initially one of like shock of like, you cheated on me. Oh, you didn't. He can't figure it out. Oh, it's a sperm bank. But he then assumes the role of like, he decides, all right, I'm going to be a dad.
What is that? Is that just how badly he wants to be a dad that he's like, he feels.
So there's a talking head where he says, all my life I've known two things. I've always wanted, I really like having sex, and I've always wanted to be a dad. And he's like, and now it looks like I can only, like, it's either one or the other, you know? Which
wow.
is a ridiculous and crude way to say it, but I think what he's kind of getting at is he's either like, I can assume this paternal responsibility with Jan, or I can kind of like date Holly, you know?
Mm.
It seems to be that's kind of what he's getting at.
Yeah, because yeah.
later in the episode, Holly basically asks if Michael wants to get dessert with her, right?
Right.
And he says, oh, you know, you should go to that diner, talk to Stanley. He practically lives there, right? And it's right, kind right. of a sad moment. And then yeah. Kevin swoops in. He's like, I'll go with you to the diner. We can eat pie. Right? But then he calls Jan and he's like, Jan, you know, like, I'll go to your Lamaze class with you.
Right.
You know, and then he hangs up the phone. He looks at the camera and he's like, looks like I'm going to be kind of a daddy. And he's not really that happy about it. You
no.
know, like talking about moments that are inflected with sadness, like this idea that he's going to be with Jan and he feels obligation to help raise this mm-hmm. kid. Like, it's weird.
He's been through such an emotional roller coaster this day. And I think he's just so thrown by that at mm-hmm. the end that he makes the wrong decision.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole episode, it's weird how many it ends so down for everyone.
I mean,
like,
you think,
except Dwight and Angela.
You think that the logical place, the place that it ends up is Michael having a watermelon with Dwight. So it's not like this is the proper decision to make. But
yeah.
But that's kind of what happens with Michael and Jan. It sets them up to be involved in the next season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So crazy this whole episode is just in one day. I mean,
yeah,
all the episodes are
minutes, yeah.
usually, but like, yep. so much happens. Like, to go from we're going to have a buttercream cake and a picture of Toby to like getting a Ferris wheel there that day.
Mm-hmm. Live
firework,
Stanley's
like,
band.
It's a massive amount of coordination going on. Daryl's band.
Daryl's band, yeah.
And then the Vance refrigeration guys on the barbecue. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mrs. Vance, we're out. Yeah.
yeah, like she's the boss.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh, that's yeah. awesome. Yeah, of course Bob Vance's guys would come in to save the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think that's a lot of merit.
That's a lot of, yeah, she yeah. probably has an army of
she's,
people.
She's got some sway.
The moments when Bob comes in to save the day. Remember that one where she and Michael are both dressed up as Santa?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, you don't want me to call Bob. And Jim's like, what's Bob going to do? And then Bob also shows up as Santa later on. He's like, where's Scott?
Oh gosh.
He saves the Crime Aid auction.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's right.
He buys the hug.
Well, I guess Dwight does too, but he puts the bidding up.
$800 and one penny.
1,000.
That's perfect.
Tries to end it.
Yeah.
Too rich for Dwight's taste.
I think one other thing that I want to touch on is, even though this doesn't really get explicitly kind of covered in this episode, Andy proposing to Angela is kind of the culmination
oh, yeah.
of what goes on with Angela, Andy, and Dwight in this season.
Mm-hmm.
It begins in the Fun Run episode, season one, where...
Fun Run, season one.
Every time any one of us says Fun One on this show, I tag it with Fun One, season four, episode one.
We say it a lot.
That's right.
That's true.
But anyway... In Fun Run, we see the beginning of Angela and Dwight breaking up because Dwight kills Sprinkles, right? And then Andy comes in later and makes a big romantic gesture to Angela, and they start to kind of date.
Mm-hmm.
Angela's still hooking up with Dwight. It's a very tense sort of thing. And then when Andy proposes and Angela accepts, she says, okay.
Yeah, I said okay.
Into the microphone, sweetie. And I love when Andy pulls the keyboard off the stage with microphone cord.
Damn it, Andy.
But
also, his parents are there, played by different actors.
Different actors than who we see later, yeah.
Supportive, Andy's other supportive parents.
Right, which, yeah, like who super supportive. They're him. There. And you know
what? Like, as Andy says later on, you know, if it weren't for secretaries, I wouldn't have a stepmom.
Right.
Interesting moments when you see those, where clearly they cast those parents not really thinking they'd ever really need them again or whatever. Yeah. And then you realize like later on, they're like,
Andy becomes such a bigger character.
We need a dad who's really disapproving. It can't be the people we cast because mm-hmm. we already had a shot of them mm-hmm. being so enthusiastic about
this
moment.
Yeah, they're totally different. Yeah.
At this rinky-dink paper company.
Same thing happened with Pam's mom. We see Pam's yep. mom in season two, and then later the actress who comes back is a different actress who plays Celine.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think the point I want to get to is that Andy and Angela end like engaged, you know, and mm-hmm. Dwight is really sullen. And we see Dwight look into the camera and say, well, it's my own fault. You know,
mm-hmm.
There are these moments, I think, for someone who is so prideful and so confident, to those moments where he kind of admits defeat. It's kind of powerful. It's often funny, you know, where he like wears that sign that says liar, you know, at the end of the coup. But I'm thinking of this moment. And then later when he's talking about, you know, being manager, and he's like, I can't, you know, it's always out of my grasp. I've made too many mm-hmm. mistakes, you know, where mm-hmm. Dwight kind of shows humility. Mm-hmm. And I think it just kind of sets up this sadness for a character like Dwight, who is so determined and, you know, describes himself as what? Relentless, jackhammer, insatiable, right?
Yeah.
And it leads up to the duel in the next season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of a running theme throughout this episode is people kind of stepping up to their duty in yeah. a way. I mean, you even see it with like Phyllis stepping up to do the party.
Right.
You see it.
Jim's gonna step up to propose.
Yeah, Jim steps up to like make his proposal. Andy does it. Again, Dwight resigns himself. Michael steps up to being a dad, even though he's not too stoked about it.
Kind of a daddy.
Kind of a daddy. Yeah, no, it's interesting development throughout the episode.
We also see Michael step up as the front man of the band. An accomplished songwriter,
yes,
parody songwriter.
What a spectacular performance.
Beers in heaven. Total eclipse of the fart. And then he sings Goodbye Toby, the Super Tramp song.
Yeah. 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 That's such a fun moment.
Really, like,
Toby's going away.
Michael Scott's the kind of guy who'd like be at karaoke when you're out with your friends, and mm-hmm. he's the other guy in the bar who's just like going for it on every single song. But I always feel those people in those karaoke situations, you're like if they're not a good singer, but they're just like going for it. It's wow, what a show.
Exactly.
Good for this guy.
Show energy.
Yeah. And he had his, Michael goes all the way when he sings that.
Oh, God.
One thing that I noticed is that the microphone cord is much longer from Michael's.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
And then it is for Andy when he yanks the thing. But I love that they even have that little wooden dance square.
Yeah.
Like they had on the booze cruise.
Yeah.
Like the little square. I love it.
Oh, yeah. God.
Well, what else about this episode have we not touched on that we need to?
Jeez.
I think it's one of the stronger episodes in the series. It would probably put it on a top 10 list.
Definitely.
There's just so much that goes on. It's a longer one. It's on the heels of Job Fair, which is a bit of a not the best episode.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's closing out the season.
I think, again, when you look at The Office, not as holistically and not as in the rear view as we do, knowing that Jim and Pam end up married and together with children, right? And that Dwight and Angela end up together mm-hmm. and that, you know, that Michael and Holly end up together, right? Mm-hmm. This episode is, it's almost like a cliffhanger in a way. There's not clarity that we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
There's emotional tension between these characters and these romances. And mm-hmm. I think, basically, this episode does a really good job of kind of inflecting that uncertainty into what are pretty, what seem very certain character trajectories, right?
Right.
And I think, again, like that's one of the beauties of the show is that you have sort of these characters that seem meant for each other or connected or almost destined for each other, but these certain real life things kind of get in the way. And I think it's amazing to see all of that happen together at the same time.
In this episode. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love it. I love this episode so much. I think it lifts you up and then lets you down kind of at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But in such a like clever and complex way.
I think too the way that it plays with the format that we're in the longer format. Season four mm-hmm. is kind of when they begin to do the longer episodes, the mm-hmm. hour longs, right? And I think you know, you don't always get the sort of payoff from having an hour, right? Most episodes of The Office, like, you know, you always want more of it, but like very rarely when it's like a 40-minute episode, I'm like, do I think, I'm glad that that was 40 minutes because of a storytelling thing. I'm glad it's 40 minutes because I love The Office, right? But in this instance, I think 40 minutes for this gives them the time to kind of weave those story dynamics together and bring it together in a really satisfying way at the end.
I'm trying to think if there's any moments between Dwight and Angela in this episode. I feel like she goes to him
You mean besides the one on Oscar's desk?
Besides that one, yes. But is there even a moment where she goes to Dwight for... I mean, she's having a bad day not being head of the party planning committee anymore. Mm-hmm. Do they interact at all before?
I don't think so. I think Dwight is mostly focused on hazing Holly. He does put...
Right.
He puts the raccoon in her car.
Puts the raccoon in her car, yeah.
Don't worry, it's not rabbit.
That's also a moment that we didn't touch on when Michael stands up for Holly and makes a big deal and says something like, you know, we have no idea, like, you know... how great Holly is, and we're very lucky. Yeah,
that's happened to this company since World War II. 50 years. I don't know if it happens in this episode.
And then Holly gets a little smile.
50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Holly just has this natural warmth. Everyone who meets her instantly loves her. I would not be surprised if she's baked at a professional level.
Shall we move on?
I think we should move on. Goodbye, Toby. What a fantastic episode.
Goodbye, Toby.
Goodbye, Toby.
All right, you know what? That's it. Conference room, 5 minutes.
All right, well, there's a lot of very good deleted scenes from this one. So we're just going to actually listen to, because I think this one actually works to listen to. I think one of the better, a really, really good deleted scene. Another scene between Meredith and Dwight in the kitchen that doesn't have to do with the bat.
Stop! Don't look at me. On the counter, you will find bread, peanut butter, and jelly. Pretend to make yourself a sandwich.
Pretend or really make one?
Really make one.
Make your own sandwich.
Will you please make a sandwich?
Now, according to my sources, you have an issue with the new HR woman. Well, so do I. And so does our secret benefactor. That's too much peanut butter. What I propose is a good old-fashioned hazing, and I need your help. If you choose to accept this mission, wipe the knife off before you stick it in the jelly. Have you ever made a sandwich before? Damn it, Meredith!
All right, well, the other... really quick, too, the other thing I found going down some comment threads is Paul Lieberstein, during the finale... was like doing a blog, like a live blog, and he posted the lyrics that he wrote to Total Eclipse of the Fart and Beers in Heaven.
Nice.
So Total Eclipse of the Fart, I'm not going to sing it.
Yeah.
It's turn around every now and then. I get a little bit stinky. A little bit stinky and the farts are coming out of my butt. I need to fart tonight. I need to fart forever. And if you only pull my finger... we'll be smelling farts together. Turn around, fart sound. Every now and then I cut a fart. So
that is so good.
Would love a scene of Michael actually singing that.
There is a line where Holly's like, "That was really great. I would love to hear Beers in Heaven sometime." And he goes, "Oh, maybe." He's like, "I don't know, too soon. It's pretty sexual."
Oh, it's here too. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a little sexual. All right, well, let's move on to some trivia.
Yeah,
trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Well, we did this with Niagara, and I really liked it, which is I told you, hey, we're doing trivia from this episode.
Okay.
So you knew that going in, and I'll see if I can get a fastball by you despite your best efforts here. I have a feeling I'm going to fail at that mission. What's the cold open on this episode?
Cold open is Jim connects Dwight's phone to his Bluetooth.
Got it. And who else do we see wearing a headset in this very same episode?
Ryan?
Who else do we see wearing a headset, like, in the office?
Mm-hmm.
Creed? Yeah, I was going to say Creed.
No?
It's not...
two headsets for one in this episode. if you think about it, who, like...
Oh, Phyllis.
Yes, Phyllis. Ah, Phyllis has one in there while she's doing the party, and it works. She pulls it off.
Mutter, I have married. Tell Fotcher.
I think you've already answered this one. Angela initially has what kind of cake for the party?
Buttercream.
you already mentioned Michael gets 9 or 10 checks a year for $50. Mm-hmm. I already mentioned Tony wears a brown suit. Mm-hmm. I'll save that's the hardest one I have. I'll save that one. Oh, what's the first joke that Michael Scott tells Holly?
Does he say if you were on the ceiling, we'd have to kiss underneath
if we
you?
Hung Holly from the ceiling, we'd have to kiss under her.
And then right after that, are you real or a hologram?
And she's like, oh, that's good. I haven't heard that one.
I actually haven't heard that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Of course, mistletoe, when it's hung from the ceiling, you have to kiss under, not Holly.
We hung her from the ceiling. Michael makes Holly a mixtape, and he wants
right,
the CD.
The mixtape.
Yeah. Right.
He wants it to say two things. What does he want the CD to say to Holly?
Welcome to Scranton.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let's bone or something.
And
like
I love
that.
You.
Yeah. And I love you. And I love He's you. Playing Crash by Dave Matthews on Amazon.
To listen to her in her car.
Right.
A song about a peeping Tom.
Right.
Okay.
When he says, I could make you a mix. Like when they're standing by accounting, and Oscar just looks over his shoulder, gives him the funniest look. Just
okay, so we know Kevin at the vending machine has 75 cents and a button, and he can't decide between what two things?
Pretzels and chips.
That's correct. What's the title of Ryan's YouTube video?
Oh, it's like fraud. Gets taken away or something like that.
No, it just is. Whoa, check it out.
Hey, it's the kid.
Yeah. And again, Creed on the internet there doing work. Michael parodies Beers in Heaven, Tom Skips at the Fart.
There's also one later they reference this Achy Breaky Fart.
Yes.
And then My Stumps, which is like my house, but a guy with no legs.
Mm-hmm. What supermarket does Kevin go to for barbecue sauce?
Oh, wow.
Garrity's.
No. Whoa.
I had a feeling that was going to be
Yep, you got one. Where is Jan's Lamaze class?
Allentown.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
What are Andy's parents' names?
Andy.
And Ellen.
Andrew. And
Ellen, right?
Yes, Andrew and Ellen. Very good.
Although later, he's like, Walter Bernard was my name until they decided my younger brother was more fitting of the name Walter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walter Jr. So, did they change? They changed his dad's name also.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right. Holly comes in and tells Creed, "Very nice to meet you. I can't wait to find out what you do here." And we see Creed hiding around the corner of the fridge. On that fridge, what is the flyer for? On that fridge,
I don't know.
It's right over his shoulder. It's very prominent, and I only ask this because it's really weird.
It's like a company picnic or like a cleanup or something.
No, it's Tilbury's Knob Gifts and Treasures, your Wyoming Valley home for authentic Native American gifts.
What?
So strange.
Which I thought of you, Sean, like an art department.
Oh
like,
yeah,
who did that... they find that? Is that based on something real?
That I don't know. I mean, yeah, we like to call that GAC. You know, you always need to make GAC. It's just, flyers filler. And bulletin boards and, you know, we just got to fill it with some stuff. But that is interesting. I wonder if someone was from Wyoming or something like that who made that flyer.
I think, wait a minute. Maybe it's a Wyoming-based company, but I'm seeing there's a Facebook page for Tilbury Knob Gifts in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So
it's maybe real. It was a real flyer.
Wow.
Have you ever noticed that on Toby's desk there's this like green, it's like a foam key or something. It's like a big foam thing.
Uh-huh.
If Toby is sitting at his desk, it's on his right on the pinboard, and it says Toby's Troops. I don't know what it's for, but it's like a charity thing or something.
Wyoming Gifts and Keepsakes. Tilbury's Knob is a small shop specializing in Native American art and crafts.
The art department on The Office really did do their research. They reference a lot of real Scranton, Pennsylvania businesses. I don't know if Froggy 105 is a
Froggy 101.
101, yeah, is a real radio station hello, out
Froggy,
there.
Hello, Froggy 101. Am I the 101st caller? I will win us that Billy Joel box set.
I'm pretty sure Alfredo's Pizza Cafe is real.
Pizza by Alfredo is not.
Wyoming, Pennsylvania is a town outside of Scranton.
Okay.
So it's that Wyoming, not the state.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's fun. Wow. I love that moment. That I'm glad that you brought up that moment with Creed because it's one of my favorite Creed moments in the whole
Quabity Auschwitz. The way that he goes from close. Like
he's hiding behind the fridge.
And the noises that he makes like quoi qua quoi
qual.
What is this woman's problem?
Yeah.
She's asking questions about no one's business.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
That's all the trivia.
Great trivia and great episode. Thank you guys so much. Check us out on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We're on Instagram at Michael Scott Podcast Company. And you can give us a call and leave us a message. That phone number is 503-694-9314. Ask us a question. Leave us a comment. Sometimes we play them on the show.
Also Twitter. Instagram, yeah. Facebook, get us questions however you want in person. We
keep them, we collect them, we've done a mailbag episode before, we'll do it again.
Yep. And of course, we haven't even mentioned, you can just email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com.
Oh my gosh.
Mspodcastcompany.
Shout out to everyone who has sent us a question or opinion or a message on any of these platforms. Shout out to Ryan Lloyd, she does our graphics that you see on the Stitcher page or whatever you see that.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our buddy Will, who's called in and left messages before.
By the way, he did call back and confirm that, yes, he buys deshelled sunflower seeds from Trader Joe's.
Deshelled.
So he is eating deshelled.
I kind of feel like that's cheating, but okay.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Thank you guys so much. Join us again next week.
Does anyone have a camera here?
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.